And let's look in His Word together today. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is what? God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Kevin alluded a little bit to the sermon on Wednesday night. I made reference to the fact that recently I'm preaching on the subject, what to bring to church. And recently, there were two or three of the couples from the church with us in a worship service. We were visiting a worship service. And as we were visiting, across from us was a gentleman that had brought his newspaper to church. And he was so intrigued in that newspaper. And there's a lot of things people bring to church. Some of y'all bring a buffet with you every Sunday. I know, because I see the evidence thereof after service. Say amen, Phil. Yeah, he cleans it up. Him and Kenneth, they know about that. But people bring a lot of things to church, and things that we should probably leave at home that we don't really need. There's things that we should just leave it at home, really. But then there's some good things we bring to church, you know. We bring our Bible to church. We bring our children to church, our family to church. But we're looking specifically at what God says that we need to bring to church with us. I hope that you brought this with you today. Wednesday night, I said, first of all, we need to bring the right spirit. And the right spirit is found in verses 1 and 2, where the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That word in the Hebrew means to raise a shout. To shout loud. So we need, if we've got the right spirit, then we've got a shouting spirit. And it also says that we're to come before His presence with singing. If we've got the right spirit, we've got a singing spirit. And He says to serve the Lord with gladness. If we've got a right spirit, we've got a serving spirit. That's how you can determine if your spirit's right. You'll have a shout. You'll have a song. You say, preacher, I don't know how to sing. The song, it doesn't hinge on our ability to sing. It hinges on the fact that we have a song. And God has given us that song. So we come with singing and we come serving. That's why that we've gathered together and prayed for people and laid hands on people today. It's our service to the Lord to pray for one another, to bear one another's burdens, to come and carry the load as a church family together. So first of all, we need to bring the right spirit. But then look, if you will, in verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Not only do we need to bring the right spirit, we need to bring the right submission. He makes it plain. Know what? Know ye that the Lord, He is God. See, we need to be submissive to God and be under submission to God, and we don't like that word today. That's a word that our society hates. We don't like to talk about it, but yet we are to be submissive to God, obedient to God. It's something that we're saying, Lord, because You are God and I am not. Because You can do all things and I cannot. Because You are unlimited in Your power and I am limited in my power. Because You have all knowledge and I don't. Because You have all strength and I don't. And that word know means to make a distinction. You see, during this time there were many gods. And by the way, we have a lot of gods today in this world. We just don't want to call them gods, but they are gods. Anything we put before God and that we serve before God is our God. But God said, know ye that I am God. When you get to the place that you say there may be a lot of gods, and you may not realize that, but now everywhere we're hearing more and more of all the false gods. If you don't settle this, if you cannot settle this in your heart, your faith will not stand the test of time. You have to settle this one thing. You ask yourself this question. Is God God or not? because people don't have that settled. We've seen within the past month, two renowned Christians have now renounced their faith in God. Some of you sing the songs that one of them wrote. I've never seen their song again. You're welcome. You're welcome. Why? Because I don't want to sing a song of anybody about a God that they don't know their God. I know that He is God. I've settled it in my heart. There is none like God. He can do what nobody else can do. He is who He says He is. And I submit myself to the person of God. I know who He is. I don't know all things, but I know there's none like Him. I know that nobody else can do what He does. So once I realize that He's God and I submit to the person of God, then I'm also able to submit to the purpose of God. Know that He is God. How do we know? For He has made us. Not we ourselves. God made us. If God made us, God made us for a purpose. There is a purpose in all things that God does. I'm not here by chance. I'm not here by accident. God makes us with a purpose in mind. God has an intention for you in your life. And when you say, I realize that He is God, and you're faced with a purpose that is too big for you. Have you ever been challenged by God to do something that seems like you don't have the ability to do it, or it's too big for you to do, and you look at your own ability and you're saying, God, are you really sure that you want me to do this? Is this what you have called me to do? But God reminds us, I'm the one that made you. I sanctified you while you were in the womb. I set you apart for this purpose. I've got a plan for your life, and I'm going to direct your life. I've got a purpose for you. It's not enough just to be saved from hell. It's also important that we understand that we can do nothing without God. I don't mean to try to cross you up in any way, but I want to make this clear. Without God, I am nothing. And without God, I can do nothing. And by the way, that goes for you too. Oh, you might do some things that you think is important, but I promise you it won't last. If it's not by the purpose of God, it won't last. Well, where do you get that? John 15. John 15, 5 says, I am the vine, Jesus speaking, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Without him, we can't fulfill the purpose of God, but with Him, we know all things are possible. Then, not only do we have to be submissive to the person of God and the purpose of God, but then the promise of God. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are His people. We belong to Him. He cares for us. He provides for us. He takes care of us. He watches over us. He's the one that says, I've not only called you to do this, and I've not only given you this purpose, but I'm going to watch over you every step of the way. And when the enemy arises like a flood, I'll give you strength to stand. When you feel like you can't go on, I'm going to be there to hold your hand and bring you through all of it. And it doesn't matter on the things that you face when you settle this with God, that I know He is God. He has made me and I am His. That changes everything. The right spirit. The right submission. But verses 4 and 5, the right sacrifice. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy endureth. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. What is sacrifice? Thanksgiving and praise. Some of you look like it'd kill you to praise God today. Really? I mean, sometimes it is a sacrifice. You have to come and say, I'm going to have to put the flesh in submission, because God doesn't care about how I feel. God cares about the thanksgiving that I give to Him. God cares about the praise that I offer Him. That's why Hebrews 13:15 says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of our praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. See, He repeats it to those Hebrews, saying you used to give thanksgiving when you came singing on your way to church. You'd sing as you'd send up into the temple and offer up your sacrifice. We have come into the house of God today, and it may be a sacrifice for you to not only get here, it may be a greater sacrifice for you to praise God. Well, what do I have to praise Him for? Three things, because I know if I go any further than that, we're going to be here all day. First of all, He tells us, verse 5, for the Lord is good. Praise Him for His goodness. God is good. Not some of the time. God is good all the time. You say, but wait a minute, preacher. Everything's not good. I know everything's not good. But God is always good. God is good when everything around me is bad. God is good when I don't feel good. God's still good when I'm bad. God is good. God is good. The things that we have has come directly from the hand of God. And I can testify to the fact to you this morning, God is good. See, you get hung up on this thing. Well, preacher, I'm waiting to hear from God. And then once God shows me how it's all going to turn out, I'll praise Him then. There's no sacrifice involved then. The sacrifice is praising God when you don't know how it's going to turn out. You say, but preacher, I'm waiting to hear. Once I hear from God, I'm going to do something. That's the problem. A lot of you, God's been dealing with your heart about service to the Lord and things you need to be doing. And you look at your inabilities and you say, I can't do any of that. And I'm waiting on God to speak. But you know what? You can be confused about that. You're waiting on God to beat you over the head and scream so loud, you haven't even shouted out a praise to God. Why should He shout to you? Stay with me. A young guy went to the old preacher. And he said, preacher, I'm having a problem. I know that the Bible says God is good. And I know God is good all the time. But I've got a tremendous decision to make. And he said, I have prayed. I've not heard from God. I have fasted and I've not heard from God. I've lived the right life. And I don't find anything to praise God for because I don't hear from God. Why don't I hear from God? And the preacher moved his lips. And the young man said, what? And the preacher moved his lips again. And he stepped over a little closer. And said, what? And the preacher said something else and he couldn't make it out. And he moved a little closer. Pastor, did you say something? What? Finally, he gets right down until his ear is in the mouth of the preacher. And the preacher says, sometimes God whispers. I'm not too smart, but if I can't hear you, the best thing I can do is get my ear as close to your mouth to see what you're trying to say, to tell me in the time of need. What I'm saying is, if you want to hear God, get closer to God. Get closer to God. Keep praising God. Get closer to God and closer to God. Just because He's speaking in a small, still voice doesn't mean that it's not so or that it's not accurate. God is good. Is there anybody here that God's been good to? We ought to praise Him for His goodness. Now, I don't know. I might have to quit. I got two more points, but I might have to quit after this one. We ought to praise Him for His grace. Where do you get that? Verse 5. His mercy is everlasting. Anybody here God been good to? Anybody here that God's given grace? Well, you say, that's mercy. Well, I know that if we want to get theological, we can change the terms around and say one means one thing, one bit, but it's all got the same reference to it. It is the fact that God gave us what we did not deserve. I happen to be reading, it's strange, I was reading something the other day, and when I read this account, I'm telling you what, Holy Ghost goosebumps run up and down my spine. And I was reading about World War II, and our soldiers got in a critical battle. And what made it so bad, the medical supplies were extremely low. They knew they didn't have enough medical supplies to treat the wounded that would be coming in. So they got together, all of the medical staff, and they came up with something, we call it triage now, which means it's a terrible thing, but they have to determine who to use the supplies on, who stands a chance of surviving, who doesn't. So they came up with color tags. A red tag meant that person is either near death or that they are hopeless. Do not treat them. A yellow tag meant that maybe with treatment, there's hope that they could survive. Then there was a green tag that is what they called the walking wounded. They had wounds while they were injured. And it would be serious to you and I, but still they knew their life would be okay. They could survive. They were able to go on and live if they didn't get treatment right away. So they come through and they're treating everybody, placing red tags on this one. That meant you were hopeless. They place yellow tags on others. That means if somebody gets to you in time, you might live. And green tags, leave them alone. They're going to get well all by themselves. A fella had a red tag on him. And he grabbed one of the nurses as she went by and said, "Can you give me just a second?" She was moved with compassion and said, "Sure, soldier, I'll give you a second." "What is it?" He said, "Am I going to die?" She looked at his wounds and looked at the tag, and the red tag meant hopeless. And she said, "No, I think you're going to be just fine." And he said, "Are you sure about that? I feel like life is leaving my body." "Oh no, you're going to be just fine. Where are you from, soldier?" "I'm from Ohio." She said, "What a coincidence. I'm from Ohio too." And they started talking about this state. And in a little while, she did something that was unthinkable. She went against the rules. She reached down into her pocket and got out a yellow tag, pulled the red tag, and put a yellow tag on him. Suddenly a medic comes by, sees the yellow tag, picks him up, rushes him into surgery. His life is spared. Later, while he's there recovering, he meets another nurse, and he marries that nurse, and they have a long, productive life and blessed days together, all because somebody cared enough to change the tag. A tag from hopeless and helpless to a tag that says there is hope. Glory to God. The devil red tagged every one of us and said, "You're hopeless and you're worthless." But the mercy of God and the grace of God came along, and the Lord says, "I'm going to switch the tag. I'm going to give you hope when you don't deserve hope. I'm going to give you help when you don't deserve help." We went from helpless to having hope. No longer helpless. We're now hopeful. Oh, he didn't change you. He didn't change you. You're not getting this today. Is God good? Is God good? Did God give you grace? Did you deserve that grace? Did God take you from a place that you deserve death and hell to a place of everlasting life? I'm telling you, God changed it all. God changed it. That's why we praise God for His goodness, for His grace, and for His guarantee. Not only is His mercy everlasting, but His truth endureth to all generations. See, that's the difference. It's not what you think. It's what this book says. You can't rewrite it. You can't change it. He's truth. And what He says is truth. And we can stand on the truth. And it's the truth today. It'll be the truth tomorrow. And the truth next year. It'll be truth 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, when heaven and earth has passed away, when every island is swallowed up in the sea, when all of life has ceased as we know it on this earth, it's still truth. After the earth has soon melted and vanished away, and there's a new heaven and a new earth, after every star has fallen from its socket, He is still truth in all that He says. I'm telling you, you want a guarantee? The guarantee's right here. And the guarantee says you can be saved and know that you're saved. Praise God for His goodness. Praise God for His grace. Praise God that He guarantees it. A long time ago, people found the secret to deceiving people. Give a guarantee that won't last. See, you see it all the time. TV ads, we guarantee this product. The only problem of it is when you go to cash in your guarantee, they're not in business any longer. But that's why we praise Him. He's God. He never goes out of business. Never closes. Not in the middle of the night. Not in the heat of the day. Heaven's always open. God's always on the throne. And He never limits His power. His goodness and grace is extended to you and extended to me. So what did you bring to church? Did you bring the right spirit? Did you bring the right submission? Yes. Have you brought the right sacrifice? Yes. People will give their money if they don't have to shout. That's right. People will give their money if they can keep on doubting God. And just talk about, well, now preacher, you don't know if this happens or if that happens. No, you don't know God. God is God. No matter what happens, He's God. He's God. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. I didn't write it, but I believe it.